Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Snow's on the ground. We're all going to be indoors. Maybe be a little kinder to James Harden when you're out here on these interweb streets. Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. But Jhené, in addition to an NBA star being down with the thickness, we got plenty of things to get to today. The NCAA getting some pressure from Congress yet again on the forefront of paying athletes for name, image, and likeness, and a number of other things. And it brings up to me, I have one important question to ask, because I think we're at a tipping point with all of this, and I think I know the one thing that would get the vast majority of the public on the side of paying players. So we'll get to that, because I think that's a fascinating subject. Jason Fitz is going to join us in a little bit to certainly talk about his beloved Raiders and also what's going on in college sports, Jhené. But we talked yesterday about a fractured throat, which made us forget the fact that there's also a quarterback in the NFL trying to come back after fracturing 11 ribs right now. That one was Frank Ragnow, center for the Detroit Lions, with the throat. But Drew Brees, Jhené, going into this weekend in their matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs, the center of the NFL universe again. And we were wondering yesterday why this wasn't being talked about more in the week leading up to this after last weekend's loss to the Eagles. But safe to say, everyone is fully turned up again now, wondering, all right, what's this timeline for Drew Brees really starting to look like?
You know, the interesting part here, Junior, to me, is that the Chiefs, I feel like even though we all consider them to be the best team in the National Football League, the reality is, if you look at their last few games, I think it's the last six or so that they've only won by a margin of 6 points. In the last five games, the Chiefs haven't won a game by more than 6 points. So while everyone assumes that the Chiefs are the most dominant team out there, there's still room for error, room for a team to slide in there. And I think that's what puts all the pressure on the Saints, especially at their quarterback decision this week.
Let's put it this way. The gap, you're right, between the Saints and the Chiefs is much less than the gap between the Saints and the Eagles, that same Eagles team that managed to sneak up on that team in Philadelphia last weekend. So you're right. Anything can happen in this spot, but we know what's at stake here also for the Saints is they're trying to keep pace in the NFC. Green Bay is sitting at that all-important one seed right now, which for a quarterback with banged-up ribs might be huge. But according to Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, the Saints are still going to take this thing as slow as they need to.
What kind of risk would he be at for a significant re-injury, right? How can he protect himself from an injury that would have a negative impact on him health-wise? These were serious internal injuries, as you mentioned, that he's coming back from. So before they put him on the playing field, they want to make sure that he's protected and that nothing too terrible would happen. Obviously, injury always a risk in football, but when you're dealing with something like this, you get to be extra careful. Because they designated him for return today, they have 21 days to activate him. So they don't have to play him this week or even next week. 3 weeks from now, they would have to make a decision. It's possible he gets on the practice field in the next couple of days and plays this week. Sounds more likely it'll probably be one more.
Now, Jhené, this is always the interesting dilemma here. This is a big-time game, and for any athlete that's been inside the locker room, the pressure, not from your team necessarily, but the pressure internally for someone like Drew Brees to maybe rush back has got to be pretty high at this point going into this.
Yeah, and I think it's that while you sort of have your own buffer zone, like understanding that you're going to have to put Taysom Hill in and really carry the load there, I think that's why this Eagles loss was actually even more profound, because now you've got the Chiefs, then you've got the Vikings, and then you finish at the Panthers. And if you prove that you have lost to the Eagles every game after that, like, there's no wiggle room. But you're right when it comes to Drew Brees. I think the big picture is I think in their injury report, they have two starting offensive linemen on the injury report, which means, like, literally, if you're going to put Drew Brees out there without his protection, that's actually a reason to be more patient, especially in this process.
Yeah, and it brings up a dilemma there, Jhené, because I'm not rushing Drew Brees back for anything. I think the long-term goals for this team, even if the one seed starts to become in jeopardy, are still too great for you to put that quarterback at risk, especially an older quarterback. We talked to Dan Orlovsky about this. It's a 41-year-old quarterback with cracked ribs, not a 28-year-old quarterback, not a 25-year-old quarterback. And so when you hear Sean Payton say Wednesday, he's still a ways away. Drew, the quote was, he's got a ways to go still. That tells me you've got to sit him in this instance. You've got to keep him down in this spot because your long-term ambitions are so much more important. But it does get us back to that debate about what you do going into this weekend with your quarterbacks, because Taysom Hill was hot and cold again last weekend, especially when it comes to throwing the ball downfield. So Damian Woody, our ESPN NFL analyst, on who needs to start, who needs to play this weekend for the Saints.
When you're playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, possessions are paramount, and not only possessions, but scoring. And you primarily score through the passing game. And that's the one area of weakness that I see with the New Orleans Saints right now. It's just the lack of explosiveness in the passing game, the lack of scoring, scoring points via the passing game. And when you're going against Patrick Mahomes, they put a lot of pressure on you, particularly offensively. We know with Jameis Winston, he's the ultimate roller coaster type of quarterback. He's boom or bust. One week he might throw four touchdowns. Another week he might throw three pick sixes. But at least he's going to give you the viable option in the passing game to be explosive. So if I'm Sean Payton, I got to look at that very hard.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwemeke. And Chinay, I almost think the Saints need to be open to what I think the exact same situation the Philadelphia Eagles are, which is whoever gets it done. Meaning for the Philadelphia Eagles, we said when soon as they put Jalen Hurts in, that doesn't preclude you from putting Carson Wentz out there if Jalen's getting beaten around or things go poorly and you're in a game that you think you can win. Carson Wentz is still an option, much in the same way in this one. Taysom Hill's got a different skill set. Taysom Hill's skill set might grow in the future. He's a guy who's older for a quarterback who hasn't played, but still hasn't played much meaningful ball, so I don't want to put too much of a cap on him yet, but we know where Jameis's ceiling is, and we have seen him be highly productive in these instances. And so if this is a game that you've got a shot, like Damian said, you can't be afraid to roll the dice with whoever's going to be able to get it done in that instance. And so if Taysom ain't doing the job, you get an easy hook on this one and say, Jameis, we know what you're capable of. We've seen it on a high level in the NFL. Yeah, mistakes are made, but production is still a part of this.
How early do you think they roll that out? Like, how patient are you going to be? Or do you think that, you know, we've seen how much Sean Payton is invested in Taysom Hill being able to be out there and to show what he's able to do, even though we saw a little bit more of a struggle the past week than we did at the initial start. But again, I think what they played the Falcons twice. So, of course, everyone's going to succeed on a different metric there. But how soon do you think they should roll it out if things aren't going their way early?
I think it's game flow dependent. I think for this Chiefs defense, who is opportunistic, they're not a great defense by any means, but they'll turn you over and get the ball back to that offense. And so if your first three drives are stalling, if you're the New Orleans Saints, and on the other side, Patrick Mahomes is doing what we're used to there, you can't afford to wait too long here. I would say be quicker with this because, again, we always used to gripe with Taysom Hill as they were taking Drew Brees, a future Hall of Famer, off the field for him. Taysom Hill hasn't earned the clout or respect in that spot to say you can't take him off the field to put Jameis Winston in there. No, it's got to be by any means necessary. And I think that's game flow dependent, but I would err on the side of earlier than later in that spot.
And you know what's actually really interesting? I just was thinking about it. You know who's probably going to be the most motivated, especially this matchup? Their defense, based on how they performed versus the Eagles. So I feel like we're talking so much about the offense. Watch the defense this weekend.
Absolutely. That Saints defense, you're right, one of the best in the league that got humbled, not necessarily production-wise by a rookie quarterback, but weren't able to force him into the mistakes that defense would hope to. A little bit tougher ask, although Patrick Mahomes coming off a weekend where that Dolphins defense was able to intercept him multiple times in a way
motivated
we'd seen
too.
No one else do. Highly yep. Motivated. Chinay and Golic Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chinay and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. The college football season is heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you, treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. And let's stick with college football coming up next, because the Athlete Bill of Rights is something you're going to be hearing more about. What it means, and most importantly, what's at stake? Because I think there is one price that America would be willing to pay to see this all go and happen quickly. We'll tell you what that is next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast. The Pac-12, Big 12, and ACC championships. Plus the college football playoff and national championship. College football lives here. ESPN Radio.
Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwemeke. We've all been so jacked up during the breaks. Coming up later in the show, around 6:15 Eastern, we're going to talk to Jordan Sparks, former American Idol winner. She's got a Christmas album coming out called Cider and Hennessy, which, Chinay, I feel like speaks to like the soul of this show, trying to make a modern Christmas album the way that she has done.
The funny thing is, on this show, people would probably expect me to be with the Henny and you with the cider, but I feel like we're actually reversed in real life.
100%. The first thing I ever got, like, actually drunk off of was Hennessy, and for the rest of my life, it has been a part of me, so you're 100% right.
Good, I'm glad.
Now, that being said, at Shanae, at Mike Golick Jr. on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, if you had to name your modern Christmas album, what would it be? Cider and Hennessy, to me, is a triumph. A great creative name in this instance. Shanae, I'll give you time to think about it. You and I are going to take some time. But at Shanae, at Mike Golick Jr. on Twitter, what would be the name of your Christmas album if you got to put one out? I am obsessed with modern takes on Christmas albums. I'm obsessed with people getting into this space because it's tough. It's tough to break into the Christmas lexicon, and I applaud Jordan for doing it. So we're excited to talk to her in a little bit. We'll talk to Jason Fitz, who also was a singer and songwriter for a while as a part of the band Perry. So we'll talk to him about how difficult it is to break into the Christmas genre and see if Derek Carr is still going to be the quarterback of the Raiders next year, because that seems like that marriage is going to be a little tenuous. But right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Shanae, you and I, both former college athletes, Notre Dame and Stanford, proudly represented here. And I'm curious for you, when you were in college, how much was pay for play brought up? This idea of athletes being paid, the desire for it, because it's something that I know was brought up in passing, but we never did anything really actionable with it when I was in school, which is around the same time as you.
When the cameras are on, never. I'm focused on the game. At night when we're all congregating, chilling after games, after practice, I'm like, man, I deserve to get paid for this. My neck, my back, everything. I'm taking these hard classes. I'm not sleeping. So we talked about it in the most realistic way possible, knowing that this is something we expected to happen way later on, not now, right now in the present.
Yeah, and I think that's been the interesting part, is watching how quickly this has all happened this summer. Players speaking up more and speaking loudly on behalf of them and their peers, saying we want more of a share in the decision making, we want more control, and we want a share of what's going on, all this money around college football. Well, the athlete bill of rights right now is being introduced to lawmakers. It's sponsored by Cory Booker, Richard Blumenthal, Kristen Gillibrand, and Representative Jan Schakowsky. All senators here. Shout out Richard Blumenthal, Connecticut's very own. But
I would like to also shout out Kristen Gillibrand, because we met with her in the WNBA and she's been an advocate for women. So I think that's why all athletes are also included. And then also Cory Booker, who is a former Stanford football player who wanted to make it to the NFL, was not, you know, able to do that. But guess what? Pivoted into politics. And now look at those minds coming together. Continue, my brother.
And coming together. But that's a great point, Shanae, is the athletic backgrounds of these people, and especially player heavyweight, because there's been a lot of talk about paying players for their name, image, and likeness. Is coming up. The NCAA is set to have their vote on name, image, and likeness next month. But this bill that's being introduced right now isn't doing the NCAA any favors when you look at this. This bill is talking about letting players make money off name, image, and likeness with little to no restriction in all of this. A 50% share of revenue from revenue-generating sports to the athletes involved in those sports after you subtract the cost of scholarships. Enforceable health and safety standards, where they're talking about fining schools millions of dollars potentially. A medical trust fund that players could tap in 5 years after. And this one, to me, is a huge one. A commission of college athletes, a 9-person commission being formed to replace the NCAA when it comes to ruling on a lot of these instances, that would include at least 5 former athletes. And Shanae, I look at this and say, this is going to be way too spicy for a lot of people in all this. The people who have come a long way that said, yeah, name, image, and likeness is cool, but you're not going to get any of the real money in all of this. So how realistic do you think this is, listening and hearing some of the things that are being proposed by these lawmakers?
What I think is realistic is that this is forcing and prompting the NCAA's hand. And unfortunately, if college football did not show you anything, it showed you literally that these organizations, the institution, will wait and just try to protect its greater properties, whether that is, you know, the college football playoff, making sure those bowls happen. And when it comes to basketball, that NCAA tournament, we're seeing a lot of teams sort of take ownership. And we saw this with Duke and Coach Krzyzewski saying that we're going to go conference only, when they feel like they're having to make these decisions for themselves, by themselves. And so now finally this, you know, by sort of throwing everything against the wall, you're going to get a few things that stick that actually move the needle towards the athletes who are actually playing the game, which makes a lot of sense. And Junior, you listed a lot of really great things, and I just think there are certain things that jump off the page. I'm sure some resonate to you. What really resonated to me was they'll guarantee lifetime, this is the aspiration, guarantee lifetime scholarships to athletes in good academic standing. Meaning if you come in, you put forth your best effort, and then maybe you transition to the pros earlier. Maybe you're not done. Maybe you need to, you know, college sometimes takes people not 4 years, you know, maybe 5 or 6. You still won't have to worry about getting that degree and diploma. That's something that is guaranteed to you regardless. That's one thing that sort of struck my heart. This is Shanann Gold Jr. talking about the Bill of Rights. It's really been great because the second part that I liked is setting up that fund to cover some out-of-pocket medical expenses for current and former athletes. That's one thing that is so important. You play for 4 years, but while you play for those 4 years in junior, you have been one of the biggest advocates for protecting the body, especially when it comes to football, knowing that if you add games, guess what? You're adding the likelihood that people get injured, and that's something you should be very, very careful of. Now being able to cover some out-of-pocket medical expenses for current and former athletes, the stuff that you go through, like all the nicks and knacks and even bigger surgeries, you can get rehab later on, and those things absolutely should be happening for athletes right now.
Absolutely, because a lot of them are thrown into real life and don't make it to the professional level and don't have those benefits there. As much as anything, Chiney, it's an acknowledgement that things have changed. And I already have people tweeting in on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, bye-bye NCAA athletics, bye-bye amateurism. This won't do that. All of the influx of money, the television deals, the emphasis that we've put on these revenue-generating programs to go out and do just that, what we've seen in the pandemic, that did all of that. This is just rebalancing the scales so that one group isn't left out of everything. I'm always amazed, Chiney, at this point. We've seen people come a long way on name, image, and likeness. We've seen people actually turn the corner and say, you know what, athletes should get paid for that. But there's a hard line drawn when it comes to real dollars and cents like this from the revenue. And I'm always curious why people are against it. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Honestly, if you want to tell me a good reason why you're against this, we have so many of the played out ones that people make up in a lot of this that are argued in bad faith. And I think it all could be eliminated. Like, if we just promise to give people back the video game, if we promise to give them back NCAA yeah. football, I feel like in the heartbeat, people would be like, all right, you can pay them whatever they want. Straight Talk
That's
Wireless.
That's really what the people want, yes.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Give the people what they want, and then let the payers get played, and they won't worry about it all that well. We'll talk about this. I want to get the opinion of Jason Fitz on this, who does a great job with Spain and Fitz here, our neighbors to the north from 7 to 9 on ESPN
Radio. My number one
Radio.
Side piece.
Your number one side piece. So we're going to bring him into the radio marital bedroom on this one and see how things go for the first time with Jason. But he's someone who covers college football and is passionate about it. So coming up next, we'll get into more of how much of this is realistic for the NCAA and what to expect from the Raiders in a pivotal Thursday night football. That's all coming up after this word from ButcherBox. Going to the grocery store is on everyone's to-do list. The problem is no one likes to actually do it, especially during the holidays. Crowded stores, long lines. I just shoveled 2 feet of snow today. I don't want to go anywhere else. We've all been there. We've all done that. We're sick of it. That's why I'm happy to tell you to sign up for ButcherBox. ButcherBox ships fresh, high-quality meat conveniently right to your door. We're talking pork chops, chicken, salmon, all these great things right to your door, which is perfect for someone like me who's usually always working in this building. And the best part is they partner with folks who believe in going above and beyond when it comes to caring for animals, the environment, sustainability. From free-range organic chicken to heritage breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat you can choose from, and their boxes are going to ship fresh right to your door. Plus, their website's loaded. Awesome recipes. You're going to love these, and it makes it so easy if you're like me, and you're not the best cook in the world, but you want to be. ButcherBox is here to help you out. Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/CJR, and for a limited time, new members are going to get a free bacon for the life of their membership. That's right, one pack of bacon for free in every box for the life of your membership. All you got to do is sign up at butcherbox.com/CJR. That's butcherbox.com/CJR. This marriage between Derek Carr and the Raiders built to last? That's next. Shanann Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Shanann Gold Jr., the podcast.
Justin Herbert making that Chargers job awfully attractive if it's going to come open. But what's the status of the Oakland Raiders and their quarterback? Derek Carr looked elite for a lot of this season, but been on a bit of a slide. Shanann Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chiney Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we will check in with our official Raiders correspondent and ESPN Radio host Jason Fitz here in a little bit to try and figure out what's going on with his beloved Raiders right now as they get ready to take on the Chargers in Thursday Night Football. But Janae, we were talking about the athlete bill of rights that's been a conversation today that would give athletes a big cut of the pie, something far greater than what we've just heard about with name, image, and likeness. And you and I both asked the question of why people are still opposed to this. What about watching college athletics right now has screamed amateurism to you in all these spots? And so we wanted to ask people, 888-729-3776, what's stopping you? What's preventing you from supporting paying players in the way that's promoted in this bill? Let's go to Darren in Dallas. Darren, you're on Janae Angola Jr. What's stopping you? What's holding you back here?
Well, I think the thing that took the sacrifice is the lesser non-revenue-generating sports like wrestling, hockey, soccer, you know, things like that, things that, you know, kids work really hard to get a college scholarship for, but because they don't make as much money, they're going to be the first ones on the chopping block.
And listen, I appreciate the call, Darren, but that's also not the fault of the revenue-generating athletes. That's the fault of the school, who would have to do some more accounting in this and decide, all right, are these sports as valuable to us as we claim in this amateurism model that allows us to keep all of the money, right, Janae?
Yeah, and the interesting part here is the parallels that I'm getting to when we were negotiating our WNBA CBA. A lot of the common narrative is that, oh, you guys don't create enough money to, you know, get paid more. Well, it's not about that. It's about the value that the athletes, by doing a certain job, deserve. And I feel like that's the same type of principle that we're trying to push right now with the NCAA, when athletes deserve more based on the value that they're providing, and that should be, they should have a piece of that.
Absolutely, because the world has changed around college athletics. Let's bring in Jason Fitz with us here, co-host of Spain and Fitz, that you can catch 7 to 9 on ESPN Radio after us every day. You can also check him out all over ESPN's digital properties, including Jason and I hanging out every Tuesday night for Rankings Reaction on Twitter. And Jason, when you hear this, because you're someone with a background in music, you were on a violin scholarship in college, and you always talk about that perspective. So how frustrating is it when you hear people bring up this retort as something that we've dealt with so many times?
Well, what I don't understand is why it immediately becomes, hey, they're going to cut Olympic sports. And I realize that, and I'm trying to stop using the phrase non-revenue sports, because there is still revenue around them. It's just not as much revenue, right? So realistically, every school has to make a decision every year on what they value, what they're willing to put money in, and what they're willing to lose money for. And you used you mentioned the music department. I mean, I'll look at a school like Indiana, and a lot of people don't realize that for years, Indiana had one of the best classical music violin departments in the world. So it was a coveted school to try and get into, to go to learn to play the violin at the highest possible level. Now, that's not earning any revenue, but kids are still working their whole life and auditioning for and trying to fight for the opportunity to get a scholarship. Schools have departments all over the places that lose money, but it's worth them to have that because they want the ability to attract the widest group of students possible. So I think the concept has really failed, that suddenly because football is going to be making less money because they'll be paying some of it out, that suddenly that means that gymnastics is done. I mean, we're sort of putting those pieces together when realistically it's up to the school to prioritize what they want, to care about what they care about, and to find a way to fund what they want to continue to be known as for a university, whether the money is split differently or not. So it drives me crazy, Mike.
And it forces the businesses to actually work more efficiently, which they probably haven't realized, and they need someone to force that hand. We learned that with our partners. Jason Fitz of Spain and Fitz right after us here on ESPN Radio joining us right now. He was talking about the college athletics bill of rights that really was presented by lawmakers today. But, you know, before we switch gears to the NFL, Fitz, I want to give you the platform to sort of apologize to us, because I heard, yeah, we all heard, yeah, what you said on Enzo Friend Zone, our segment on our show, not your show, but our segment, where you basically said we are not qualified to have this segment because we both are single and have been experts of friend zoning. Do you want to apologize or say anything?
I mean, neither of you have made it to the end zone. So all you're qualified to know is that how to stay in the friend zone, right? Like, I mean, both of you, I mean, unless there's something you want to reveal to us about each other at this point, give me your expertise on how you've taken the plunge. I mean, like, I'm not particularly good at much, but I managed to marry a beautiful girl, right? Like, I think that I did something right there. I know friend zone, end zone. What do you, what's your qualifications?
Well, you know, speaking of lacking getting to the end zone, let's talk about your Raiders, because I feel like you guys are 1-3 over your last four games, and clearly you guys have an opportunity tonight, Thursday Night Football versus the Chargers. What's the fix for them if you can't fix it for us?
Well, that's a good question. There's not an easy fix for the Raiders, realistically, because, frankly, the defense is just horrible, and the wheels have fallen off over the last month, and I think this is sort of what we expected for a lot of the year from the defense. So there's so much pressure on the offense to score every time they get the ball. And, you know, I know people have talked about the turnovers. I would challenge that over the last couple of games. Look at the last game. Derek Carr throws an interception late. That's not on Derek Carr. Jalen Richard lets it bounce off his hands into a defensive back's hands, turns into a pick six, you know. So that was a 7-point game with 10 minutes to go against the Colts that they needed, and they fell apart at the end. So if I'd have told anybody after the Chiefs lost that the Raiders were going to get blown out two of their next three and struggle to beat the Jets, everybody would have thought I lost my mind. They just lost all momentum, and it's like their defense has been exposed. They fired their defensive coordinator. I expect that we'll see a little bit simpler defense, but nothing fixes the very simple problem with this team. They can't rush the passer, and so in order to get after anybody, they've got to send the blitz. In order to do that, they expose a young and not particularly great secondary week in and week out. So there's no easy fix for the fact that you got two choices. You can let a quarterback sit there for an hour, and then eventually guys are going to get open, or you can send people, which means you've exposed your secondary and guys are going to get open. So the Raiders at this point are going to have to score 35 points to win every game moving forward.
Now, Jason Fitz with us here on Shenan Golic Jr. To that point, Jason, the guy that's going to be in charge of a lot of that is Derek Carr. Push comes to shove, because the relationship between Carr and John Gruden's been under a microscope for a while. With the way he's played, do you believe he's the starter come this time next season?
So here's the thing. If I were making the decision, I would leave Derek Carr in as the starter. I think we've seen enough good from Derek Carr, and I've seen, you know, Jamarcus Russell. So I'm risk averse at quarterback. You know that. Do I think he's the starter for this team next year? No. At this point, John Gruden, he has so much autonomy with the 10-year contract that we all talked about, with 10 years, $10 million per year. He has the autonomy to build this team however he wants to build this team. And one of the easiest things you can say when you're just not getting over the hump is, hey, we need to change quarterbacks. Gruden believes that he can get this level of production out of virtually anybody. So I would be surprised to not see, especially Derek Carr may still be on the roster. His cap hit number is pretty manageable next year, around $22 million, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them add a quarterback, especially in the draft, see what they can do to develop somebody. And if Carr wins a job, great. And if he doesn't, he's not the starter. There's just not a lot of consequence to that. So this season goes one of two ways. Either Carr takes them so deep in the playoffs that they're forced to leave him in, at which point I expect his team would ask for a long-term deal and a lot of money, or they part ways. I think the latter of those is more likely.
A lot at stake going into Thursday night's game tonight against the Chargers. Check him out. Co-host of Spain and Fitz here on ESPN Radio, coming right after us, 7 to 9 Eastern. Jason, we appreciate it, buddy.
That's how you get things over into the end zone right there. That's how you score at the end.
Oh, my God.
Tell your team.
Get out of here. I was going to say, go fix the Raiders and get the hell out of our hair. We're going to talk about good football coming up here in a second, because I have heard everybody weigh in on this over the course of this week, and we have tried to resist, but look no further. Can Aaron Rodgers actually do it? Can he actually beat out Mahomes for the MVP? We'll tell you why next. It's Shenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Shenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Award season rolling along here on Shenan and Golic Jr. In about 10 minutes, we got the next installment of Shenan's NBA preseason awards. Coach of the Year coming up. Yeah. This is going to be a big one. Shout out to the former ballers. Going to be excited to see the makeup of this category.
But I'd like to also give a little like preview, in the sense that I wanted to put as like life coach Stephen A, but you know, he always tries to fix everyone's life in the NBA.
That is true. I mean, Stephen A is the number one NBA life coach. He's got his finger on the pulse of all that. He's like the life coach around here too. So we would all do well.
Or Scared Straight coach. That's the show that he's on.
He would be great in Beyond Scared Straight. Oh my God. Shenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. A guest join us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. We'll see if we can get Stephen A to come on at some point and just scare athletes straight on this program.
That should be
program.
His new plus show right there.
There we go. See, we're just content creating over here. Jimmy, baby, call us. We got the things that you need, including this. Every time we get to this point in the week, we like to take some takes, spice them up a little bit. It's Thursday. It's time to book stuff. All right, guys, book it. You know the drill. You add book it to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's book it time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
All right, book it. You guys know the drill, and if you don't,
put it in the books.
Fix your life. Devin's going to read us a spicy take. If you like it, you want to spice it up, be more like Stephen A. Smith, shout, book it after it. Feels good. Everyone has a good time. And if you don't, we won't. We move on. Devin, you ready to redeem yourself after last week? Because, my God, that was a tire fire.
Listen, we can only go up from here. That's all I'm going to say.
Coming in with a lot of confidence, what do we got, Devin?
All right, Mike, you're up first. Aaron Rodgers will beat out Patrick Mahomes for the MVP. Are you booking it?
I am not going to book this.
No, sir. No.
Now, Aaron Rodgers leads Patrick Mahomes in a number of important statistical categories you could argue is getting less from the group around him, with the exception of his offensive line, which is markedly better. But this is also an award that rewards style points, kind of like the Heisman Trophy, Chiné, and Patrick Mahomes constantly being in comeback situations ends up being rewarded probably more than it should, considering they get into those situations they have to come back from.
Yeah, and I feel like the win differential here actually does matter when you have two more losses, especially even though, like you said, he's done more with less. But his numbers are undeniable, and I'm seeing that he has his touchdown to interception ratio 9.75, sixth best in NFL history. Impressive, but still, that divide at the top to me sort of is not allowing me to book this either.
All right, Chiné, James Harden will finish his career without a championship. Are you booking it?
Oh, I'm not going to book this at all. Come on now.
Damn,
there are a lot of NBA stars that have won their first title over 31 years old, in which James Harden is 31. Hakeem Olajuwon, Dirk Nowitzki won at 31, Kevin Garnett at 32. You get older. Dr. J. Julius Erving, 33 years old. Jason Kidd, 38 when you win a title. So he still has time. He's 31 in his prime. And guess what? That shot ain't going nowhere soon.
I'm actually not going to book this either, and I've been about as critical of James Harden's championship ceiling as anyone. But that being said, the important number there is 31, because eventually LeBron James is going to retire. Like, eventually there's going to be a post-LeBron NBA, and without the specter of the Golden State Warriors and that dominance right now, as we're waiting for it, I feel like it leaves room open for him to, at the very least, attach himself late in his career to a championship winner and get involved in that. Chiné Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's book it season out here on a Thursday, giving you all the spice. Devin, what do we got?
Mike, Giannis will win another MVP before the Bucks win a title. Are you booking that?
I am going to book it. I think they've got themselves time.
You can book it.
This is about two things. One, Giannis's greatness, which I think he's continuing to improve at a rate that's pretty alarming right now. And so I think him winning another MVP, not out of the realm of possibility. And this contract extension, signing that 5-year Supermax, means that the window isn't win now. They don't have to go all in. They can build this the right way, and that might take a little bit of time. As they sit here right now with what Chiné has dubbed the unproblematic Big Three, I don't know if it'll be enough in the immediacy, but in the long haul, I think he's going to get one, but not before another MVP.
I got to switch gears here because it's the unbothered Big Three, and it's funny because voter fatigue is going to happen. Voter fatigue is real. You have this guy who literally a lot of people had qualms when he won MVP because LeBron James is turning, what, 36, I believe, at the end of this month?
Yep.
Yeah, 36. And so everyone's like, oh, well, how many more MVPs can we give to LeBron? I feel like voters actually might say, you know, we've given him two. We've given him Defensive Player of the Year. We've given him Most Improved. I feel like, you know, everyone's good on that regard when it comes to awards. He'll just focus on the one that matters, a championship.
I'll be curious to see, Chiné, how, because remember, LeBron got a kind of a cap put on his MVPs because of the decision and the bad feelings associated with that. Does Giannis staying help that?
I think that's a good question. I was going to answer it, but actually I prefer to hear Devin's voice.
Oh, thank you so much. We'll give Mike time to think on this one. I think I know where he's going to go. But, Chiné, Notre Dame will sweep Clemson. Are you booking it?
Oh, my gosh. Is this like our work-life crisis moment? I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to book this
one.
I'm so sorry. Trevor Lawrence is 33-1 as a starter.
No,
and this guy has been so unbelievable. I mean, his only loss was it last year in the college football playoff and to LSU, one of the greatest offenses of all time? I'm sorry. I can't book it. I really can't.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
Now, Chiné, you know what? And it's totally understandable. Going into this weekend, it's going to be a difficult task. Trevor Lawrence presents such a unique threat. I think he's going to massively improve what Clemson was able to do on third down when they came to Notre Dame Stadium. I think he's going to create a different threat for the run game. Travis Etienne benefits so much from Trevor Lawrence being back on the field and being able to use his legs. But come on, man. Book the hell out of this thing.
You can book it.
Walk into your ACC trap. Take over your ACC trap. One season, one championship goes down this weekend. Obviously, it's going to be a close game. Obviously, it's going to be an exciting game here. But I'm riding with this crew because what everyone's going to remember after last time, Chiné, is that the Ian Book you saw go out and win that Clemson game looking like he was doing everything and anything, that's been the same guy we've seen the whole rest of the season.
Is Ian Book going to book it?
Ian, book it, baby!
We're about to Ian book it.
Book it
all the way to an ACC title this weekend. Fired up to watch the Irish. Going to be a great game. I mean, a rematch of top five teams. Can't wait for that one. Going to be on ABC this weekend. But coming up next, we got to hand out some hardware in the NBA. Chiney's NBA preseason awards continue.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.